Hello, Joy Starters. This is one of those podcasts. If you're familiar with my podcast, and if you're new, welcome, welcome. This is one of those podcasts that I'm doing from on the road. Oftentimes, after I have a speaking engagement or an event or a training or anything that I do, I often gather my feelings and share those in real time. Because and when you get some distance away from things, you just don't feel it as big. That's why I am so huge on people writing things down, journaling them, talking about them, making a note of them, because honestly, the farther away we get from a beautiful big event in our lives, the less big it feels. Magnanimous. Is that the word I'm looking for? By the way, I have to make you laugh. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they use the word recidivism. All right. I am totally telling on myself here. And if you've not followed me on social media, you need to. I'm often the victim of autocorrect. I recently found a deal where I sent somebody saying a message saying praying for your daughter, and it autocorrected to praying for your slaughter. So that was a good one. I also was sending a message to somebody and said, thank you for the support. And it changed to thank you for the suppository. So recently I remember about a year or two ago, I was contracted by a school to come in because they were having problems keeping people in school. And in my mind, I had the word like retention. I had the word recidivism. Okay. I had the word recidivism, and I promise you, I used that word in regards to speaking at the school to keep kids in school. Recidivism has nothing to do with keeping kids in school. It is about prison and reoffending and all of those things. So your girl right here, used the word recidivism in a couple of interviews. And I bet people were like, what is she even talking about? So I don't know if you're like me, have been this silly, silly person who has used a big word before, and it was absolutely not what you thought it was. So how about them, Apple? So I am leaving this speaking engagement, and I'm actually driving to Nashville because I am reporting a podcast with Amy Brown tomorrow. Amy Brown is a media personality, radio personality, podcaster, all of these things. And she's also known for being on the Bobby Bones Show as well. And through a podcast I did with Leanne Ellington recently, what God got to do with it, came this opportunity to do this podcast with Amy Brown. And so I am leaving my engagement with the love lady, and I'm heading to do this podcast in Nashville with Amy Brown tomorrow, old stomping grounds. But I want to tell you about what happened tonight. I want to tell you about the love lady and the history of the love lady. So if you have read Relentless Joy, if you haven't, I'm going to shamelessly plug my own book, because let me tell you something, writing a book and promoting a book is a marathon, not a sprint. When I put it out last June, you do a lot around launch time. And it is what's really neat about a book launch, and I'm going to get back to the event tonight. If you know anything about my podcast, I will be all over the place, and then I will land the plane later. So the thing about a book launch is it's really neat that you can make it anything you want it to be. Anything. You can make it as big as you want to be or as little as you want to be. And so your book company is not out there planning your engagements for you to help you with media, but they're not planning your tour stops and those things. So we had a really, really aggressive, beautiful launch. I went to Nashville. I did a speaking engagement that involved the book. I did a dinner. I had a book launch party the day of the event. We went to Birmingham to the Love Lady Center. And you amazing human being, if you were following me last year, you probably saw me every other day asking for money, asking for money, asking for money. Well, I was asking for money to be able to donate 1,000 books to the Love Lady Center. And you keep to hear me talking about a Love Lady, the Love Lady Center. What it is it's a Christian halfway house for women where they can come, and women are coming out of drugs, jail, prostitution, abandonment, all of the things. And they can bring their children. They can get an education. they can graduate from college. They can get therapy. They can work out. They get 3 square meals a day. They get church. They get childcare. It's like, it's the most amazing place. And so my brother's friend is the pastor there. And so over 10 years ago, he was a pastor there, and I was speaking a little bit here and there as I was a sportscaster. He invited me to speak. And I remember the first time I talked there, the first couple of times I talked there, he will even share this now. Pastor Leslie will tell you, he's a dear, dear friend. He'll tell you, you were like a little bird, and you were like your little caterpillar in the cocoon. You had not come out yet. And that was for a specific reason. If I'm stepping all over myself tonight and my vocal cords sound a little bit shredded, I hollered, I hooped, I had a microphone, but I was still, wow. And it's also my first speaking engagement because I was off the road in February that I've done since January. And so just so excited to be back out there, and you'll understand why when I continue to tell you about this place. So when I first couple of times I'd go there, I talked about myself and my testimony. And I remember I had an agent that said to me, you cannot talk about anything that you talk about at the Love Lady Center, outside of the Love Lady Center, because it's going to keep you from getting a job. He said, and particularly my addiction in my 20s. And I said, okay. And this was also the same agent that said, you should really calm down your dogma, your faith, because it's going to keep you from getting a job. And I said, okay. And then I went back to him and I said, I don't think so. Because I don't want any job that's going to not hire me because of my faith. Now, I mentioned this many times. I'm changing the narrative. It's not faith-based. I am. Okay? And so I go into spaces and places where I get to share my faith. And I'm so excited about that. But also go into many, many places where I don't talk about faith. Or I say, you know, whatever you believe. And I'm inclusive. And I don't stay on it. But if I mention our creator or our maker, I say, hey, whatever it is you believe. I want to be inclusive to everybody. So the first couple of times, I think I was like the caterpillar in the cocoon. And then after a couple of years of going, I would go 2 to 3 times a year. I lived in Birmingham and Tuscaloosa and then Atlanta. So on we went. Years passed. And I remember asking in year 3, 4, 5, if I could give an altar call. And he said, you dare. And that changed everything. Went from pouring out my heart, giving my testimony, dare I say preaching, that might offend some people. I'm ordained, but I'm not a theologian by any means. I laughed tonight and said, I'm a street preacher, just like I'm a street therapist. I push you to real preachers, real theologians, the Bible, and also real therapists. I'm just a conduit. But I did get ordained online to marry a friend. So a joke, and it's not a joke, but I say it jokingly, and I say, I can marry you, bury you, or baptize you. But he allowed me, God bless him, he allowed me to start giving an altar call, and that just changed everything. And so when I go there, I am just crunk. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it, but absolutely crunk. And the place is crunk. And the reason why I'm crunk is because it's crunk. You've got to be able to imagine, again, if you haven't read the book, you need to grab Relentless Joy. You can, oh, by the way, it's on audio. I forget to tell people all the time, if you're not a reader, or if you have a friend and they're not a reader, get you send them an audio, send them an Audible, right? It's on Audible. You can get it on Amazon or local bookstores. Became a Christian bestseller last year, but I wrote about the Love Lady and how I want to bottle the Love Lady and give it to everybody that I know. So you walk in, it used to be an old hospital. It has been redone now. And they feed 500 meals to both the people that work there and the women that are there each day, 3 meals a day, healthy meals. Again, give them therapy, place to work out, school, job training, all the things. Nursing, they have a full-time nurse, a doctor, they have dentists that come in. It's just really an amazing place. And the pastor was showing us off tonight the workout facility, because they want to be able to serve their mind, body, and spirit. It's amazing. And so you come in and you walk down the level, and then you go down into, like, I guess what would have been like their basement. And it opens up around the stairwell, and there's about 150 women on the ground floor. But then on the second and third floor that overlook where this kind of pit area is, where they gather, are another 100 or so women hanging over the railings. And so they'll start praising at the beginning, and they will dance. They'll dance, they'll hoop, they'll holler. And anytime I invite somebody to come with me, I say, look, I just want to go ahead and give you a heads up that this place is different. You may, if they shock you a little bit, they make you raise your eyebrows a little bit. It may even make you, dare I say, uncomfortable a little bit. It's just that, it's that on fire. And I tell people all the time, I'd love to bottle what is happening at the Love Lady and give it to the world. Because we do have a lot of people, I can't speak for other faiths, but a lot of people in the Christian faith that maybe are just a little bit drier. And that's okay. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but I want to hand them this fire and say, do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want to, you know, do you want to play with it? Do you want to dissect it? Do you want to open this bottle, this jar of fire and see if you want this? Because you just may. You just may. And look, it takes all kinds. No judgment. It takes all kinds. But really what is happening there is nothing short of miraculous. So I have been going for 10 years, 2 to 3 times a year. And easily, I told them this tonight, they're my favorite speaking engagement I did. It's for faith reasons. It's for raw reasons. It's for vulnerable reasons. It's for all the things. I wrote about it in the book and a trigger warning. I always try to give a trigger warning when I talk about a sensitive subject. But I wrote about it in the book about how a couple of years ago, a woman came up to me after I spoke and said, I was going to take my life tonight. I had already written the letter. I'd already written it. And then I heard your story. And I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to call my family. We get an help. Thank you. I told them tonight, something supernatural happens when you put stay cheek to cheek with a woman that just tells you that. And your tears are commingling. Like it's just otherworldly, almost indescribable, if you will. And so every time I speak, I come and I have my notes and either day of or whatever, I'll think of something at the last minute. I'm scribbling while I'm on stage, while they're in praise and worship, and I'm getting ready to go up, or I'll have something and I'll go somewhere else. Really, it's not me. It's I open my mouth and it's God speaking through me. Okay. And again, I'm respectful to anybody and everything that you believe. I'm just giving you my account of what's happened in my life at this place that is a faith-based speaking deal for me, where I get to share my testimony and God's word. And I talked about tonight the prodigal son. And not only, I've been the prodigal daughter many more than a few times in my life. And I'm not ashamed of it because I can help other people, but I definitely am glad that I serve and many people serve a God that is got a ring and a robe for you. And he wants you to come home and there's not condemnation and he loves you and he wants to throw a party and hire the DJ and fatten the calf and do all the things.
Have you heard the old adage, a warm lead is the best lead? Well, it's true in anything, right? I mean, you see advertisements in magazines and social media and all of these things, but the best kind of referral and advertisement is when a friend says, hey, you should try that. Hey, I use that. Hey, I love that. Hey, I love her. I love this podcast, this book, whatever it is. So I want to ask you to put your thinking cap on. Is there anybody that you could, one, send this podcast to today? Secondarily, is there anybody that you know are decision makers at businesses or at a school or a teacher or administration or a coach that you could say, hey, listen, I think you should have Rachel in to pour into your people? And just so you know, listening to the podcast, you'll learn this, but I've expanded now outside of schools. I work with corporations. I coach people. I work with churches, halfway houses, prison ministry, K-5, high schools, colleges. Wherever you've got an event, I'd love to be considered. And a warm referral is the best thing and the nicest thing you can do for me. Blessings, my friend.
I also talked about tonight, theologians will tell you that there's something called the older brother syndrome. And the older brother is the one that, who was the father, who was God in the story, calls him in and begs him to come in for the party. And he says, no. And he says, look, I've served you all these years. I didn't do anything wrong. I begged for a goat. I begged for all these things. How dare you do that? And what theologians will tell you is the older brother syndrome is envy. jealousy and pride. And we've all been the older brother at a moment in our life. If you've never been the older brother, faith or not, had that syndrome, good on you. Please teach me, because I have absolutely been the older brother at times in my life. And I don't want to be the older brother anymore. I want to be happy for people. I want to cheer for people. If somebody comes home after doing the wrong thing and being in a pigsty and wasting and squandering and doing it their way, I want to cheer for them the whole way. I want to go to that party. I want to get down like James Brown. That's what I want to do. I don't want to grumble and be envious of you and jealous of you and say to God, look at me. I served you. I served you so well. You should reward me. Now we serve because we want to be laborers for Christ. We want to advance the kingdom, and we serve because we have a servant's heart. We don't serve to get something in return, right? That's performative. We don't want to do that. That's loving with expectations. We want to love without expectation, right? Like, even if you don't reciprocate, even if you get nothing out of it, I always teach people this: character is who you are when no one's looking. Character is who you are when no one is looking, right? That's what I talked about tonight. I talked about my time in the maximum security prison. I talked about that the world will tell them that they're dirty and used up, and that I want them to start seeing themselves like God sees them. And that's whole and healed and beautiful and his child. And I want them to come home. I want them to stop running from God. I told them about my mother, who taught me one of the greatest lessons of life, that you run to God with everything you have when you messed up. My mom chased the hem of the garment with a fervor that scares hell, honestly. And she told me that. And that's one of my goals in life, is to teach other women that. And so when I speak there, I'll speak, they scream, I'll speak, they scream, and I holler and I cry, and it's just so overwhelming and so beautiful. And then afterwards, they want to hug me and pray and talk and all of these things. And I never leave until the last woman wants to talk to me. And that one of the neatest things this time was they had their books from when you guys donated the books. 50 or 100 of them had books. And of those, many came to get me to sign them. And they were like, this book changed my life. I saw myself in this book. I gave it to my mom. I gave it to my daughter. You were speaking to me in the book. You helped me. One woman said, you helped me uncover my gifts. Your book helped me uncover my gifts. You want to be
saved. And they're going,
thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to do this work. Thank you for allowing me to write this book. Thank you for allowing me to touch these women. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It is the most important work. I can't even, like, it's wow. And not only that, I had a few friends come tonight. And these people, you have to understand, this love lady, I've grown up here the past 2 years. 3 years, I was looking for my husband. And we're talking about godly dating, right? And when you mess up, you get up and you chase God, like we said, with the hymn, with a fervor that scares hell. And then when I found Christopher, and then Christopher and I, when we went through our troubles, and then when my mom got diagnosed with cancer, she was there. They all touched her. She did get her healing. And my friend Christy Malzahn says she just got it on the other side. She got her ultimate healing. Woo! So I've been through a lot with these women. A lot with these women. And I love it. Every time I go, it feels greater and greater and greater, deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm so thankful. And tonight, some of the ladies that were there, my friends that were there, I have a high school friend. And I literally was in show choir with named Joel and his wife Lisa, that I've loved for years and years and years. And their baby JC, who I call my nephew, and prayed through his birth. Wow. I mean, so they came, they brought JC. And this is so special, one of my former coaching clients came, who I've known in Pell City for a while. I've been to coach her, Shauna. She came. She's been trying to come for a few times, so it's just never worked out. She came. And then, quite possibly, the neatest, I love them all the same, but the neatest, I've spoken in Jonesboro High School. I think it was 2 or 3 years in a row. There was a break last year, fortunately, and I hope to get back this year, this calendar year. But one of the students that I just fell in love with when I was there at Jonesboro, some people you just fall in love with, right? A soul recognizes a soul. And I tell people this all the time. I have best friends that are in their teens and I have best friends who are in their 80s. Like, that's just who I am. And I love all walks of life and ages of life. And so Sydney and I just totally bonded when I was at Jonesboro. Met her mom, met Chatel, which is one of the guidance counselors that was responsible for bringing me in. And Sydney and Chatel, along with a few other amazing students, set up the Don't Suffer Alone Club in Jonesboro. And it was a mental health club. And so I helped them with that, attended a meeting or two when I was there. And Sydney and I just, again, like I said, totally bonded, loved her soul, loved her heart, just a beautiful, beautiful queen. So Sydney is going to school in Samford. Samford is in Birmingham. So when I knew I was coming to the Love Lady, I sent Sydney a text message and I said, would you come? And she said, oh my gosh, I'd love to. And I said, but I need to tell you, I know you love the Lord. I just need to tell you, this is a long crack. It's a little wild. I mean, it's like off the book. Like, they're dancing. Kids are dancing on the stage. They're line dancing. They're hooping. They're hollering. I don't even know what little ditty I just sang. But I said, it's very raw. This is the way that I put it. Like raw, pure energy at like scale of 1 to 10, a 20, right? And that's it. Just understand that. She's like, do you? And I can't wait. She brought one of her sorority sisters with her. So precious. And they came and they got to meet Pastor Leslie. And it was just wow. So I think about these relationships, not only the ones that I have formed at the Love Lady, but the people that came to see me. Let's just walk this out. I don't know about you, but I talk about it in the book. My tapestry of my life is rich. I don't count myself rich because of dollar bills. I count myself rich because people are my currency. Therefore, I'm a billionaire. So tonight, a father came who has known me since high school. I mean, literally, we were doing show choir together. By the way, I can't sing. Do you know that I made it into show choir? And we would go to competitions and I would lip sing and up and again. It was kind of like Mr. White was one of my heroes, or he's passed away, our choir teacher, and he knew it. He knew I'd lip sync. He didn't ask me to do it, but it was kind of like wink, wink, nod, nod. So Joel and I have been friends ever since. We've been a show choir together in high school. So that's one relationship. The other one was a former coaching client, right? A coaching client who stayed a friend. And that's why I keep telling y'all, man, oh my gosh, I keep telling you to be thoughtful of who you're getting your coaching from. This is a whole other topic for a whole other day. And that is you, like I've talked to two people that have said they've taken masterminds. And after the mastermind, person they took the coaching from just like deleted them and they can never get in touch with them again. That is not the way I do it. Not the way I do it. I create relationships. I am so grateful for the people that I get to coach and the people that I get to work with. I tell you what, I am beyond blessed. So one of my people there is a coaching client and the other person there is a young now college student that I bonded with in Jonesboro. It happens to be going to school in Alabama and comes to see me. These are the ties that bind. These are the things that endure. I am asking you today in this podcast to think about your relationships and the tapestry of your relationships and who's in there. What is the tie that binds and how rich are they? And is there somebody you could call today? Is there somebody that you could love on today? And just give them a call and say, I haven't talked to you in a while. And I just want to tell you, I love you and I appreciate you. I want you to think about doing that today because you know, I always invite you into my podcast. The other thing I want to do is totally switch gears. I'm sorry, I meant to search your ears. That was supposed to be like tires. So silly. I want to totally switch gears and tell you something that I've been meaning to share. And I made a video the other day but I wanted to reshare it in this podcast. I didn't love the video, so I didn't post it. I deleted it. But this thought has been in my brain since last week, and I wanted to share it in this podcast. I have a client that I am working with and getting a proposal over to that I have been talking to for, you ready for this? 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. And why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you to tell you that good things take time. I'm sharing this to tell you that the person that put me, that I'm now working with, this very large corporation, the only reason I started talking to them 3 years ago because they work in the collegiate space. They know I work in the collegiate space. Then after the 3 years, they recognize, and I put out on LinkedIn, that now I also work with corporations, that I have been hired by this certain corporation to coach your upper level management. I do trainings, speak to corporations. And the gentleman who set this call up, that I've been talking to you for 3 years, one of two individuals, said, I was so pleased to know that you finally started working with corporations. Let me introduce you to our people. And also, I circled back with them. That's the other thing, y'all. This is the one of the biggest parts of this message is, people see, let's just use me for example. People see me, for example, and they see this talk. They see me at the Jags, at TCU, at a prison, or half, whatever it is. They don't recognize, you may not know how many times it took emailing, texting, calling, following up, making sure you're not annoying somebody, but also staying on the radar, because if coaches were busy before, they're super busy now, and professionals are busy wherever it is that I work in. So you see the final result, but you don't see all that it took to get there. Now, are there gigs that I do where somebody calls, we go to contract, it's super easy? Yes, I just did one last month. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. 3 emails, contract, boom, deposit paid, let's go. Right? CM in May. That is not the case a lot of times, right? There, I may talk to a coach and they have to run it up to management, or they have to get dates, or somebody has to take it back to a coach or to an upper level management person, whoever it may be, right? And so I just want to remind you that good things take time. I'm going to say a whole ton in this message. I also want to remind you that this corporation would have never known that I worked for corporations unless I put myself out there. I had to say it. When I put things out on social media, there is a method behind it, a madness behind it. I want you to know that I have a store. I want you to know that I coach. I want you to know that I have a retreat. I want you to know that I have a book. I want you to know that I have Joy Starters Club. I want you to know that I have a podcast. I want you to know that I have a book. I want you to know that I speak and I'm available to work with you on speaking if you're a decision maker. I want you to know all those things. There is a calculation to it. It's a positive calculation, but it's not willy-nilly. So put yourself out there. Go for it. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Go for it. Right? And recognize that good things take time. Good things take time. 3 years I've been working, talking to these people. 3 years. And I don't know what we thought we were going to do one thing. It didn't work. We stayed in touch once every 6 months. And here we are. I may get to train 6,000 of their people. Wow. It's very likely it's going to happen. Working on proposal right now. 6,000 of their people. Okay. A joy, being a joy starter and bringing collaboration, joy to the workplace, and how your personal life does get brought to work, whether you know it or not. So we want to find what sets our soul on fire and leave a legacy. So I just wanted to say all that because the internet is full of people. The internet is full of people. Get rich quick. Take this corner. Do this. Do that. AI has made it very easy to cut corners on a lot of things. And I think that's great. But the internet's full of people who are full of it. My friend Kim taught me that. They really are not making $50,000 a month. They really don't have 700 clients. There, a lot of people are selling you a load of bull. And it coming from somebody who's been a gullible-ish person and easy to sway, my life, I'm getting better at it. I've had people tell me that. Like, not everybody is telling the truth on the internet. So I just want to remind you that cutting corners, that not doing it the right way, that stepping on people, that cheating, that all those things. But all those things, in addition to the fact that it just may take time, that good things take time. Don't quit. Plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds, plant seeds. And I can't tell you the beautiful crop that will come up, but you also have to promote yourself. You have to get off the bench, people. And I say, people, I mean my kings, my queens, my royals. You got to get off the bench and get in the game.
Phil.
You got to get in the game. You got to get in the game. That's it. And the last thing I'm going to tell you is, you need to start dropping in people's DMs. Dropping their DMs. I told you last week on the podcast, I'm going to say it again. While this thing over here happened over a three-year period, I've got another speaking engagement and a relationship that's happening because I was bold enough, audacious enough to drop in somebody's DMs. And that one, I didn't know if the person would ever get the message because they were following me. 3-4 months later, they get the message. We begin a friendship, get to know each other, and I'm invited to speak at a binge year. How about them apples, right? So some things are going to happen. Take some time and then feel all of a sudden, right? And then there's something like this other opportunity that are going to take a while. Put yourself out there, strap yourself in, be ready for the long haul, but also be excited when something seems to happen out of the blue because of the hard work you put in. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to the Joy Starters podcast. And thank you for this travel episode and letting me just be jacked and give you all my adrenaline, all the cortisol, all of the things that I experienced tonight, all the joy, all the breakthrough, all the peace, and letting me share that with you. Blessings, my friend. See you soon.